Good morning once again. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. We're also going to be looking at Genesis chapter 1 and 2 briefly. And there may be some other verses in there. But let's begin in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I meant to write up a true story of Martin Luther and his wife and their marriage. Because oftentimes we think Martin Luther, we think Reformation, we think 95 Theses, we think of other things. But the marriage that they had, from what is the stories that are told, it was something really admirable in many ways. But I didn't, so Lord willing, next Lord's Day, I may be able to read some of that for us. For the next few weeks, God willing, we will be looking at relationships from the Word of God, how we are indeed to live. Specifically, we'll be looking at husbands and wives. Now, some of you in here are single. Some of you in here are widowed. Some of you have an unsaved spouse. Some of you come to church alone. Some of you have rebellious husbands. Some of you have rebellious wives. Some in here that are married have serious marriage issues. Some in here have strong, growing marriages. These passages are relevant and helpful for all of us. Let's begin in chapter 5, verse 21. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We remember from last week, we looked at being filled with the Holy Spirit. But here it says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. So as we look at this over the next couple few weeks, we're going to be taking a more of a 10,000 foot view, as they say, with dropping some parachutes down in various areas as we go along. But in order for us to live out the things that Paul describes, we must be ones that are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we see that, we don't live our Christian life by ourselves, right? There's others involved. We have other people in our family. We go to work, and we have other people that we work with. Some of us have children. Children, you have parents. These things are lived out in the context of every sphere of our lives, amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ. But ultimately, as one theologian says, gospel credibility is established principally in the home. First and foremost, we are new creations created in Christ Jesus, as 2 Corinthians would say. So the way we live in our families ought to be different than the way that the world lives. Contrary in many ways. The roles of husbands and wives and even children in Christianity, in the Christian home, is vastly and completely different than what the world says we ought to do. We see here in the scriptures that the husband is the head of the wife, indeed the head of the home, that wives are to submit to their husbands. We see also that children are to obey their parents, to honor their mother and father. Is this the way the family functions in society today? We would say mostly no. Furthermore, as we probe within functions of the family within the church, we could ask a similar question. Do we see the roles that God laid out, that He created, that He ordained, lived out in the church? So we ask these questions. Consider how the world looks at the family. The world does not promote the husband and father as head of the home. We could see that in sitcoms. I don't watch sitcoms, but I remember sitcoms, and I've read enough to understand that many times men are promoted as goofy, dumb, lazy, aloof, rejects that submit to their wives because the woman wears the pants in the family. That's the projection. As long as the wife is happy, all is good. Now, we want our wives to be happy. But we also want our wives to be holy. To get along, there is this mentality of, yes, dear. You've heard that before. Oh, that's all you got to do to get along with your wife is just say, yes, dear. And the home will be fine. And she asks you to do something, yes, dear. That's horrible theology. It may be comical, but it's horrible theology. Then we also see children ruling the home. They get what they want. They disrespect their parents, lacking discipline, coddled in many ways. Many circumstances, they are raised in systems or other places outside the home with parents just being the supplement. It's easy to point fingers at the world and shake our heads. However, we see some of the same problems within the church. We also see the other extreme within the church. We see married couples, a husband who does not want to lead the home, does not know how to lead the home, or maybe tries to lead the home but is domineered by an unsubmissive wife. On the other extreme, we see husbands acting as dictators, ruling over the home with an iron fist, while cloaking himself in righteousness when it is really self-righteousness and legalism. These extremes put the wife, especially this extreme, puts the wife in an inferior spot, fearful and often rebellious. Recipes for disaster. How do we avoid such extremes? How do we live biblically and love for one another while still holding to biblical convictions and seeking to obey the Lord? Well, Paul tells us. Let me also say, marriage is also for love, is it not? Love within our marriage. Husbands and wives, we should be passionate lovers, but also best friends. And love as Christ commands. And when we think of marriage, and as I reminded us a while ago, we have to look what God says about marriage, how He created marriage, what God says marriage is supposed to be. So we have to remind ourselves once again from the book of Genesis, because we need to know this, because the culture completely and continually tries to ingrain in our heads that marriage is something completely different than how God has ordained it. Same-sex marriage is one way that the society continues to try to tell us that it's something different. Let's briefly look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, and then Genesis chapter 2. Speaking of the creation account, then God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us, the triune God, make in our image, according to our likeness, make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish and of the sea and over the birds and the sky and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over everything that moves on the earth. We'll leave it there and go to chapter 2, verse 18. Well, let's read verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the sky, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Notice it doesn't say he ever woke up. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh at the place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall be joined and become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So we see how God created man and woman. And as man and woman get married, consummates the marriage, they become one flesh. Marriage designed by God, not man. It is one of the building blocks of society. It's not an institution that needs restructuring or remodeling or redefining. Marriage as God designed it is between one man and one woman. That's the only marriage that is recognizable. In a world that is actively seeking to undermine, redefine, and destroy the institution that God created, Christians, we ought to cherish and live out in our marriages with selflessness, love, joy for our spouse as a witness for others for the glory of God. The unregenerate world should look at the Christian marriage and say, oh, I like, that's what I want. That's how we do it. Or that's how we should do it. We can agree with Ann Hamilton that says, the credibility of our Christian witness begins in our homes, among our families. The credibility of our Christian witness begins in our homes, among our families. Again, as we look at Ephesians 5:22 through 6, ultimately we're going to be a section dealing with relationships. Beginning in verse 21. And as I talk here this morning about wives and husbands, this isn't the last you're going to hear of this. So wives, if I say something or I leave something out, or husbands, I leave something out, there's always next week, Lord willing. So pray for me as I go through this, for as I read this, as I study this, I get convicted in my own heart and I have to deal with it. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Be submissive to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, does this mean that every other relationship here we have to submit to one another? No, it does not, because if it did, then that would mean parents have to submit to their children. Now, some parents do submit to their children, but that's not what God intended. That's not what Paul intended here. No, we are all called to be subject to someone, to submit to someone, ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And ultimately, we submit our lives to Him. We must. That's where it starts. But also, we see in relationships, in our work, whatever it is, we are submitting to someone. We are ranked under someone. In a Trinity, we see the three members of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, equal in holiness, deity, and attributes. We see that the Father sends the Son. The Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord, submits to the Father's will. The Holy Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son. Different roles, if I may use that term, and no inferiority within the triune God, with God. Sproul calls this, as other theologians do, subordination. Just a term to help us understand these things. Relationships among Christians. Submissiveness, we're called to submit to one another. Be subject to yield to arrange under. As I mentioned, those in authority, there's places where we submit to others. And then some of us are in authority to where others must submit to us. But in doing so, we must make sure that we are, one, filled with the Spirit. Secondly, humble as we submit to authority. And thirdly, recognizing that all that are in Christ are equal before God, live before God. Galatians 3:26-28, I'll read it for you. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is no slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And to submit ourselves to one another, we do so in the fear of Christ. We are to be God-fearers. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A psalm that stuck out to me, I'll read it for you. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 145, verse 17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in His deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon the name of the Lord in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them." What a promise that we have there, that those who cry out to the Lord, He will hear them and He will save them. The Lord keeps all of those who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. The Bible calls us to be God-fearers. We are to fear God, to revere God. There is the act, fear, having reverence towards, and then the object, being God. As Christians, there are definitely instances where we are under submission to one another. We are under submission to the government in many ways, with laws. To those in authority, at work, you're under submission to a boss. To a manager, to a CEO. At church, you are under submission to a plurality of elders. As we are under submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is the head of the church. In these relationships and these roles, there is a head. And there also are some who are in submission under the one who is in the role of authority. There are not 50-50 partnerships when someone is in authority. Marriage is not a 50-50 partnership because one will always be struggling to be the 51% and make the other one the 49%. There is one leading, or there ought to be one leading, while the other is arranged under and submitting to the one in authority. Now, we will look at, as we go along here, not all today, because this is mainly an introduction, but we will look at what that looks like and definitely what that does not look like. But wives, to your husbands, as to the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. And then we see children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, with sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in a discipline and instruction of the Lord. Masters, do the same to the slaves, giving up threatening them. So these are all things we need to look at. These are all scriptures that we need in our lives. Other observations we make from these texts here, we look at verse 22 through 33. We see that Christ is the head of the church. We must not forget that. That Christ is the head. And Christ is the Savior of the body. He's the one who came to save. He came on a divine rescue mission to save sinners like you and like me. The Savior of the body. Not the Savior to everyone in the world. The Savior to those who would repent and put their faith in Christ. And we see that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What a sacrifice that was, that Christ would die on the cross for us. Give up his life so that we may live and have eternal life. And Christ sanctifies the church as we, Christians, work out our salvation in fear and trembling. For it is God who is working through us and God who works and sanctifies us. We also see that Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. We also see that the church, as a head, as I mentioned, that is Christ, like a marriage. Like a marriage and like being in the church. We are either all in or we're not. The church is subject or submitted to Christ. The church is to be holy and blameless, set apart. As the church, we are members of the body of Christ. And we see here, Paul says, that a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. And we'll look at other as well. We will look at family involvement in a marriage that's outside the marriage and what is acceptable and what is not. Parents and in-laws and such. But he says, this mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and his church. The NIV says, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. So we consider that Paul's teaching on marriage in Ephesians 5 is rooted in more of a broad teaching of the gospel. We see that. We remember that Paul can't get over the gospel. And we see it laced through over and over again. We remember the indicatives, chapters 1 through 3, and then the imperatives, 4 through 6, basically. But we see that when Paul explains that a wife's submission to her husband as her head, it's analogous to the church submitting to Christ, the head of the church. We see this and we see how Paul is using these two to explain both, I see in the Word. We see another analogy. A husband is to love, to nurture, and to cherish his wife, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, and just as Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. And I'll say it now. Husbands, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We should have sacrificial love towards our wives. In a marriage, it's not always the easiest to love one another, is it? But we're not called to feelings. Oh, I don't feel like loving that person today. We're called to obedience. Now, feelings are great in a marriage, and love and everything that goes with it. And husbands, I'll say this now because this is a rebuke for me as well, but we have some excuse with the COVID and stuff and being on, can't go here, can't do that, can't go there. Date your wives, husbands. Date your wives. Take them out on dates. My wife's saying amen. We're talking about it though, so. The church is the bride of Christ, whom Christ sanctified, set apart, and cleansed. But Paul says, we see in verse 33, I mentioned it, nevertheless, as if he's saying, even though I'm writing this to you, explaining this to you, but by way of analogy of this mystery of Christ in the church, he's explaining it in this way, but he says, nevertheless, these things I have written to you, do them. Live this way, filled with the Spirit in your relationship with others, because each individual among you is to love his own wife as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. So we look at the individual roles within the home. We see Colossians 3, I'll read it for you, 18 through 21. It says, running on the same rails, same track right here as Ephesians is. Colossians 3, 18 through 21, wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them, which means do not be harsh with them. Husbands, do not be harsh with your wives. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, children. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So that means that when I am... You're disobeying your parents, children. When you are disobeying your parents, kids, it's not well-pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart, causing them anger in their heart. Wives, submit to your husbands. In doing so, you are submitting to the Lord. The Lord is the one who sanctioned the marriage covenant. And we keep in mind the context here, submission in marriage. These are the roles that God has ordained. I mentioned this in marriage. We know this. We read this in the Word of God. Paul is not implying by any stretch that a woman is inferior to a man. Paul is not implying by any stretch that a woman is inferior to a man, that she is less. Because there's a lot of people who would teach that. So I need to mention that. Erroneous teachings of what biblical submission looks like. Suppression of the woman. Suppression of the wife. You see this sometimes. And she might as well be wearing a head covering. Like the Islamic women do. Paul is writing about what imitating God looks like. What walking in love in marriage looks like. And Paul is not saying that all women are to be subject to all men in general. Paul is saying that in a marriage, the husband is the head and the wife is to rank under him, to yield to the position that God has ordained. Men and women are heirs together of the grace of life, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says. We see these roles are created by God. We are not to usurp these roles. We are not to redefine these roles. We are not to reduce these roles. We are not to recreate these roles. Two major problems in the church today in the marriage roles as God intended. Two extremes. First, we see a removal of the role of the husband as head of the wife, much less the being head of the home. A removal of the role of the husband as head of the wife. What does this look like, and who removes these roles that God has ordained? Sometimes the husband removes a role of being the head of the wife. How so? By refusing to lead the wife, by refusing to lead the home. There's a role reversal. The wife leads the home. She is the one who makes sure everybody is ready for church. She does the devotions with the children. She comes to the church. And if it wasn't for her, the husband probably wouldn't even be here. Men, at the end of the day, when the dust settles, we will be held accountable before God of how we led our wives spiritually. And how we loved our wives sacrificially. Praise God for His grace. R.C. Sproul again, he says, the Christian church is, this. He said this I think in the 70s, the Christian church is becoming a feminine organization. Now we could say in many circles it's becoming a Marxist organization as well. But for the men, I say here, it's time for us to take back the reins for God's glory and for the spiritual health of our sisters in Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. The mindset, wives in the room, in here, the mindset is, I'm going to submit to my husband because I submit to Christ, because I love Christ, because I want to please the Lord, and this, as a wife would say, and this is my husband, God help me to submit to His decisions. You see, you need God, you need the Holy Spirit to help you in this. The husband's the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. He Himself being the Savior, the one who saves. The word Savior is not used in the New Testament for anyone else other than God, specifically the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, just as a side note, let us be careful how we use that word Savior. You know, we say, oh, this person came into my life and they were my Savior. And they got me out of such and such, and wow, I call that person my Savior. Let's not use that term if we can. Because there's one Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to seek and save the lost. Now, Christ is the Savior of the Christians. As Savior involves deliverance, safety, preservation, salvation. To a much less degree, husbands, if we follow the train of thought, the husband is to take on these same responsibilities. How so? We realize the husband is not the Savior of the wife. But he is to be the protector of his wife. He is to see to it that she is safe, that she is shepherded, that she is nourished spiritually. This is a huge responsibility to be the head of your wife and your family. Men, I would ask you, are you taking this spiritual responsibility seriously? Ask that question of yourself this morning. Am I taking this spiritual responsibility seriously, O God? And you may say, well, what does that look like? Well, we can talk about that. Our submission ultimately to Jesus Christ is informed by His Word. We obey according to the revealed Word of God. We submit to Christ out of love for Him who first loved us. Jesus laid down His life for the church. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So we see in the church, we see submission, and then in a home, we see the wife's submission to the husband. The church submitted to Christ. The wife submitted to the husband. Involving headship and authority. In the church, we see elders leading as authority. In the home, we see husbands leading. Not tyrannically, not in a dictatorship, but leadership. Shepherding, lovingly leading. Wives are to submit to their husbands out of love for Him, a love for Christ, in accordance to, not in contradiction to, the Word of God. Verse 24, as the church is subject to, as the church is to submit to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. The church recognizes and acknowledges that Christ is the head of the church. The church is to submit to Christ. One author said, from the Expositor's Commentary, said this: when marriage is seen in the light of this higher relationship between Christ and the body, when marriage is seen that way, the wife finds no difficulty in submitting to her husband. I would change that to say less difficulty to submitting to her husband. Because, he says, for he too, the husband, has obligations to her in the Lord. And we see that, and indeed we will get to that. Submit to your husbands in everything legitimate. If your husband asks you to sin against God, you not to obey that. If your husband forbids you from going to church on Sunday because he is lost, because he is against God, you go to church on Sunday. Submission, yielding in love, pursuing another's interest. We look at the model Jesus gives to us in Philippians 2. Read that later, Philippians 2, 5 through 8. We look at the model, we always go back to Jesus. What did Jesus do? How did He live? And we say, man, I can't do that. Yes, we cannot. We need the Holy Spirit of God to help us to do that. But we always see Jesus Christ, the way He lived, as a model for us. When we look at Him, we see marriage and love and submission connected to our love for Christ and the gospel. Then there will be no male chauvinism, and there will be no feminism in our marriages. For these are both, as one theologian said, equally condemned in God's Word. Both of these perspectives have violent reactions to God's Word, to God's wisdom, rather. The wife to the husband's submission is rooted in creation. Genesis 2. We have other texts to look at. We won't today, but we have 1 Timothy 2. We have 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. But we notice that Eve came from Adam's side to serve alongside. She did not come from his head, and she did not come from his foot. Adam, the head, Eve, his helper. I like, again, how Sproul, I told you that book, it's great. Magnificent how he lays it out there, Dr. Sproul. I like how he explains it with husband and wife as king and queen. Not king and a servant. Not tyrant and slave. As Genesis says, a help mate. Made Adam complete. Wives, submitting to your husbands as to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and that the man is the head of the woman, and that God is the head of Christ. The church submits to Christ. The wife models such submission as to the Lord by submitting to her husband. There's much more we could say on these verses, but we're just really getting started here with this. But I'll read another quote to you, and didn't write it down who it was. But within the family, it is the husband-wife relationship that sets the tone, that sets the direction, that sets love and obedience that we are to shape family life. Establish harmony within the home and bring glory to honor to Christ. Let me read that again. It is the husband-wife relationship that sets the tone, that sets the direction, love and obedience that are to shape family life, establish harmony within the home, and bring glory and honor to Christ. And we read all this, we see this in the Word of God, and you say, this is, and some of you may say, this is not my marriage. This is not what's going on now. Pray that God would change that. And that as we go through these, as we look at the Word of God, that God, through His Word, would help to change that. And I'll also say to anyone who is single this morning, especially the young ladies, because I'm always harder on men, especially when young ladies don't have a husband yet. Don't settle for a guy who is wishy-washy in his Christianity. You need a man who will lead you, who will sacrifice for you. You need a man of the Word. Even if it's 15 years from now when you will get married, you want a man whose heart is after Jesus Christ, first and foremost. And men who are looking for a wife, you want to look for a woman who is indeed a woman of the Word. You want to look for a woman who wants a man to stand there, and he wants a man to lead her in the things of the Lord. And husbands, I understand how difficult it can be sometimes to lead a wife in the things of the Lord spiritually. That doesn't mean that 6 nights a week we open the Bible and we say, okay, we're going to read this, and this is how it's going to be, and it's going to be this. That's not it. It's in all aspects of life. Yes, we have devotions, and we should have devotions with our wives and with our families. We are held accountable, and it should be a blessing to do so. But we see here, I want to read something by Elizabeth Elliot. She was an author, missionary. You know the name well. She says, the greatest good a father can do for his children is to love their mother. The greatest good a mother can do for her children is to love their father. Finally, as we consider these things, husbands, future husbands, fathers, future fathers, wives, future wives, singles, widow, whatever, wherever you are in your life now, you need to know God, to study, to learn His attributes so that you can walk in this life wherever God calls you now. Wives, you are to submit to your husbands. Respect your husband. Respect the role that God has ordained, that God has created. Husbands, we are to love our wives sacrificially, caring for them spiritually, and loving them passionately. Submission does not come naturally. It comes supernaturally. It starts with submitting to Christ as Lord. And men and women and children who are without Christ are living in rebellion to God without submitting to Jesus Christ. They live in sin and will die in their sins. And that's the same here. I don't want to say those out there, anyone in here who does not know Christ, You are living in your sins and you will die in your sins unless you repent and trust Christ Jesus as Lord. The wages of sin is death, and hell awaits you with wide gates. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I said, Christ came on a divine rescue mission to save sinners, to save the lost. He came to redeem, to pay that debt, to pay that fine that you could never do, that I could never pay. Christ came to die, and what a gruesome, bloody death it was, and to rise again so that we can have eternal life, and so that the gospel could always be everything to us. We know that repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ is necessary. So as we look at these verses, as we go along, Lord willing, these next few couple of weeks. Now, I don't like planning, saying, okay, next Sunday we're dead. We could be dead by then. Today may be our last day. Anyone's here's last day. This is life and death. Every time a man stands behind here and says, thus saith the Lord, it is life and death. Take these words seriously, church. It is life and death. You are responsible to take these words that I may feebly said and apply it to your lives. So husbands, as I say to these things to you today, to love your wives, and you go out of here a grumpy man and don't want to talk to your wife and give her the cold shoulder, you are in sin and you need to repent. And wives, if you go out of here and you talk bad about your husband, you are in sin and you need to repent. We need to see husbands and wives on their knees before God. I hope this wakes you up. We need to have marriages in here that honor Christ and that are way different than the world. For the glory of Christ, I say these things and I preach these things. This is life or death stuff, brothers and sisters. Let us take this seriously. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word, O Lord. God, I pray that as we have not because we ask not, O Lord, that every married couple in this room would have the most beautiful marriage that this town has ever seen in Christ. Because only you can do that, O Lord. God, that we would take these things seriously. God, help me to take this seriously. Lord, I need to be a better husband. Oh, God, help me. God, let me not ruin my testimony. Guard the elders of this church and the deacons. Help us in our marriages, God. We need you. We cannot do this on our own, Lord. Some of us need to change more than... There's horrific things, Lord. Break our hearts, Lord. And for the wives, Lord, God, that you would help them to submit to their husbands. If they're lost, we see in your word in Peter that by their chaste behavior, by their chasteness, Lord, you may be pleased to save some. Oh, Lord. We need you. We need your help. And the world needs help. It has gone off the deep end. We hold the keys, the Word of God, and God, we can live it out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to do so, Lord, please. In Jesus' name, amen.